This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, popping and a popping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jay Bird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, 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 tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet. Rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin, rockin' Robin, go. Rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Body Game, Rockin' Robin. Oh man, that'll get you going, will it not? Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my friend and buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. Monday, April the 5th, yes indeed. In a few minutes, Diana Roth, that's not the singer, Diana Roth, R-O-T-H. She is an economics professor at George Washington University, and she'll be on to talk about the latest jobs report, latest economic report, and the decision by President Biden to promote a multi-trillion dollar infrastructure bill. Is that a good or a bad idea? So I think you're going to find it interesting. Stand by for that. Also, did you watch 60 Minutes last night? CBS Sunday Night Show, they highlighted Hunter Biden and his book while they were castigating Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his COVID decisions. So we're going to talk about both of those segments with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And we're going to bring you another chapter of campus quackery, this time focusing on the renaming of a school mascot in Portland, Oregon. Wait till you hear that. Campus quackery, a little bit later in this program. Also, in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. Top 10 places in the world to retire to. Got a little money? Maybe you just have little money and you want to go somewhere that you can enjoy and not go broke. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580. And you got to call for your appointment. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Call 727-733-3773. Again, that's 727-733-3773. And also, don't forget Good Morning America. Just before our show, they kind of set the table for us. We love it. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Did I say Good Morning America? Good Morning Clearwater. Good Morning Clearwater. 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. All right, we got a lot of things going on. And among them, what's going on with Joe Biden and his son and the taxes? And now I think I just heard, now I may be wrong, Ed, you might correct me, but I think the stock market really went up this morning to quite an extent. I'm going to keep an eye on that. But we're going to talk a lot about economics this morning on the show and a little bit of infrastructure, you know. A lot of us are worried that money doesn't mean anything anymore in terms of its value. When we start throwing around trillion-dollar packages like we are. And so I worry a little bit about inflation. And you always worry about what goes up must come down, you know, that kind of a thing. But here is what is going on with the philosophy, apparently, of Joe Biden when it comes to jobs, economics. His Council of Economics chairman, Cecilia Rouse, was on the Sunday programs yesterday. She said the president is proposing corporate tax hikes because it's the right thing to do. Oh, okay, it's the right thing to do. Those big bad people that run businesses. CBS's Face the Nation anchor pressed her about the president's proposal to increase the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%. Or even higher than 28%. They're thinking about it. And the question came after Rouse said that the $2 trillion spending plan is good for the economy. See, they think that if you throw money, taxpayer money, back in your face, that somehow it makes things better. Why do you take the money from the taxpayers to begin with to throw it back out to them? Why? Why do we have to launder it through you? I want to keep my money. I don't want you laundering my money. I can launder my own money. But see, that's the way the federal progressive socialist philosophical mind works. So here they go, trying to raise the corporate tax rate at least by 7%, if not more. And so the question was, this is 15 years of higher taxes to pay for 8 years of spending. That's right. And the question was, can you really say that that's not a cost? So Rouse, again, the economics advisor chairman, she said, I'd say that the reason why the president is proposing these tax increases is because that's just the right thing to do. Oh, I see. So he also sets the moral compass for us. Did you know that? He's our moral compass leader. Rouse went on to say, the Biden believes we should be, quote, encouraging these corporations to pay their fair share. I am so sick of hearing that word or term, fair share. They're not paying their fair share. Tell me this. Who determines the fair share? What godlike creature on this planet is telling us what the fair share is? They're not paying their fair share. Ed, are you paying your fair share? You're not paying. Ed, you're not paying your fair share. I'm probably paying my fair share. Why don't you pay your fair share?
Yeah, I dare Sleepy Joe to come tell me that to my face.
Doesn't that kind of, when you hear that, they're not paying their fair share? You've heard that.
Yeah.
Doesn't that, I mean, that's so, it's so, what's the word? Condescending. That's another thing. We know better than you do. You're not paying your fair share, but we know better what it is.
I'd like to dip into some of these politicians and see if they're paying their fair share.
I'll
bet you they ain't.
Guess who's not?
Who?
Joe Biden. And let me tell you this. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me find the story. I'll bring it to us a little bit sooner. Here it is. While recently touting his infrastructure plan, Biden griped about the wealthiest 1% of Americans who saw their net worth increase by $4 trillion. He then ripped loopholes and deductions that corporations use, but a blistering letter from the leader of the House Conservative Caucus regarding Biden's own tax loopholes could foreshadow what Republicans will include in their oversight agenda when they try to flip the House next year. Here's what he had to say. Let's see. As a private citizen, in 2017, 18, and 19, Biden and his wife routed $13 million in income through two Chapter S corporations. One was called Celtic Capri Corporation. The other one was Jacapa Corporation, to avoid paying taxes that help fund Medicare and Obamacare. So there you go. This guy is using every corporate tax loophole that he can. And we don't blame him for doing that. We don't blame him. Trump certainly did the same thing. Certainly did. But Biden is the one that is attacking corporations and rich people for doing it while he does it. So, the question came to Biden, do you intend to undo your own hypocrisy and pay those back taxes to the American people? So there you go. So Biden is doing it with the subchapter S corporations, you know, in the back door, while telling corporations they should not be having those loopholes.
Didn't in the presidential debate, Biden accused Trump of using loopholes, loopholes, to not pay his fair share? Trump said, yeah, I used the loophole that you created.
Yeah, exactly. These guys, he's been around creating all of this stuff. I mean, he was there before the loopholes, during the loopholes,
right?
And he's there after the loopholes.
I mean, name me one American politician, American businessman, whatever, that's going to say, you know what? I'm not going to use that loophole. I want to pay my fair share.
Exactly.
Whenever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we can talk about that a little bit later, but he is... See, this is the thing when you've got a track record in politics. You've got to be very careful about what you preach. Okay, we'll take our break now. When we come back, delighted to talk with Diana Roth from George Washington University.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., starting April 8th. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Cantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works and delighted to have with us Diana Roth. She is an adjunct professor, a professor of economics at George Washington University, and she's got quite a resume. She was most recently at the Treasury and Department of Transportation, and before that, chief economist at the Labor Department, former Council of Economic Advisors under George Bush, and as I said, now an adjunct professor at George Washington. Diana, it's an honor to have you with us.
Great to be with you.
Yes, thank you. So much to talk about. I don't know where to start. Let's talk about the jobs report. Was the jobs report rather positive, this last one that just rolled out, the unemployment numbers, et cetera? Can we attribute most any part of that to the Joe Biden philosophy and administration?
Well, the jobs report, with over a million jobs created, including the backward revisions for January and February, shows the economy was growing strongly before the stimulus package was signed into law. So there was no need for such a large package.
There you go. I mean, we've been talking about that. I can't believe it. We're talking now. When before have we ever talked in trillions for packages like this? To me, this is very scary. And I worry tremendously about inflation. I'm not an economics major like you are, but I would think that if we continue printing money, something's got to give.
Well, you don't have to be an economics major to see the price of gasoline rising in the D.C. area. It's close to $3 a gallon. You don't have to be an economics major to see the price of milk go up, the price of bread go up. So and the bond yields, the 10-year bond yield, treasury is up. So we really should be worried about inflation.
We should
absolutely.
Be. All right. So now we're talking, you know, we got this COVID package going. First of all, did you, as an economics person, professor, et cetera, did you believe that the federal government should be mailing out checks during a pandemic like they did? Do they have a right to do it, in your opinion, a moral right, if not a constitutional right to do it?
Well, they certainly have a right to do it. The question is whether it's the appropriate thing to do when GDP is growing at 4% as it was last quarter and it's growing 7% this quarter. So mailing out stimulus checks, I would say, is rarely a good idea. It could maybe be justified in a depression or a recession, but right now we have growth really steaming ahead.
So here we go with the infrastructure package, which is being touted right now, which, by the way, if we take a look at that infrastructure package, maybe you have looked at it. It doesn't seem like all of this, even most of it, goes towards infrastructure. It's kind of a goodies bag, correct?
It really is. Yes. It's about $2 trillion. About $620 billion is on transportation. But even that is not on everything that we would think about as infrastructure. Most people think of infrastructure as bridges, highways, and roads. That's $115 billion. Of the $2 trillion so-called infrastructure bill. But you know it's called infrastructure because everyone loves infrastructure.
Yes.
So you might say it's false advertising.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think they were actually trying to coin the word infrastructure to help pay for in-home medical help and this and that, as if it was medical infrastructure. So now we have taken right. the word and taken the definition of the word away from it. You know what I mean?
Right. That's $400 billion for home and community-based care for disabled and elderly.
Yeah, I mean...
You know why that is,
why?
Right? It's because right now this home health care is being provided by private providers,
oh.
in essence. But if you provide it through the government and it's government workers, then they all get to join the SEIU or some other government union, making the unions more powerful.
You know, I did not see that vantage point or that point. You're right. Now that I think about it, you're right. They want to unionize, strengthen the union. By the way, speaking of all of that, you are an advocate of lower taxes and lower regulations, God love you, in order to increase economic growth. You have proposed putting longshore unions and employers under the Railway Labor Act instead of the National Labor Relations Act. Do you mind explaining that?
Basically, this makes it possible for the government to restart operations in an emergency. And we've had numerous problems with contracts at the ports halting operations on West Coast ports.
Oh.
So in order to avoid that and allow the president to bring back these workers in an emergency, such as when there's boats and container ships stacked for miles and miles outside the port of Los Angeles, that's why a different structure should be looked at.
Okay. Very interesting. Now, you also say you've spoken out against raising the minimum wage. And, of course, that is always on the table whenever the Democrats are in some sort of control. So now the minimum wage is being talked about. But you claim it would actually do more harm than good, because low-skill workers just won't get the shot. Would you explain that a little bit as well?
Yes, there's always people who are lower skill and who would lose their jobs if the minimum wage were raised. So, for example, take the obvious example of teenagers. If it were $15 an hour, a lot of teenagers wouldn't get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one obvious
that
example.
Sounds right.
But if raising the minimum wage was such a good idea, why don't we make it $26 an hour, which is about the average
wage? Bingo.
Why don't we make it $50 an hour? Well, everyone can see if it were $50 an hour, there would be people who were priced out of the labor market who just wouldn't be able to get jobs. It's the same with $15 an hour. If an employer, especially in somewhere with a low minimum wage, who hires a lot of workers at $7.20 an hour, if he has to raise it to $15 an hour, then the lowest skilled are going to be laid off. These are the ones who need the jobs in order to progress through the job market from one job to another, so that they end up in a better job as maybe a manager of a store that they started off at.
Indeed. In fact, great minds think alike, Diana. We used that thing about why not raising it to $50 or $100 an hour minimum wage, because everybody then can see the acidic effect, you know, of just an arbitrary federal pay raise. We're talking with Diana Roth. She is an adjunct professor of economics at George Washington University. Now, Diana, that's usually a liberal climate, is it not, at George Washington? I think it's pretty gutsy of you to be conservative or, let's say, you know, watching what we're spending on a college campus. I think it takes a lot of courage. That's just my own opinion.
Well, I just teach normal economics. I encourage discussion in my class, and I hope that the students get something out of it.
Yes, indeed.
I teach them to write, to express economic concepts. So I hope I'm doing more good than harm.
Oh, you're not doing any harm, I'm sure of it. Now, you've got a wonderful background. Chief economist at the Labor Department. You must know what you're talking about when it comes to all of this. What about the Federal Reserve? Let me, if you don't mind, we've been jumping around a little bit. But this is always on my mind. The Federal Reserve was a vehicle that was created, I think, back in 1913. And that would have been around the Woodrow Wilson administration. I guess a bunch of big fat cats got together and figured out some way of getting involved with other banks and loans and everything else. Do you think that the concept of the Federal Reserve is a sound one?
The Federal Reserve needs to be focused on sound money and not to diverge into questions of employment or other kinds of aspects. Its job, as we saw in the early 1980s, is to keep inflation down. We had runaway inflation in the 1970s, and the Fed can do a good job of ensuring we have a sound currency. That makes our dollar, our currency, open to investment from all over the world, and that's very important. It's a very important role that it plays that way. So even as we are incurring these mountains of debt, there are people who are willing to invest in the United States because they know we're not going to default. They know we're not going to have runaway inflation. So the Fed has a very important role to play.
So they're actually
in the year ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially in the year ahead.
Oh, wow.
We can see inflation picking up. We have to hope that the Fed is going to be able to moderate the brakes, not slam on the brakes so we have a recession, but gently pulse the brakes to make sure that everything is sound.
You are a proponent, then, of the Federal Reserve and its concept rather than a free-willing, open banking system. Am I right?
Well, it's not a question of a proponent, but I think that we have to work with what we have right now. We're not going to get rid of the Federal Reserve, so we have to make sure that it is insulated from political pressures. And in many successful economies, probably everyone around the world now, have the equivalent of a Federal Reserve or a central bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the most successful are insulated from political pressures.
Very good point. Diana, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so very much. I hope we can talk again.
It's great to be on your show. Such an honor. And Tampa's one of my favorite places.
Come join us.
Wish I were there.
Ah, yes, we'd love to have you with us. All right, Diana. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Diana Roth. Isn't she nice? It's very conversational. She doesn't go on and on either. She gets right to the point. You know what? I bet if I was in her class, first of all, I'm not smart enough. But if I was and I was in her class, she doesn't waste any time, you know? I would learn something from her. I don't know. I just got that impression while I was talking with her. Okay. We're going to take our break. We're going to take our break. When we come back, I want to talk with the proprietor. Oh, we're going to talk. Ed tells me we got both the brothers, Double Trouble. We're going to talk about the 60 Minutes segments on Hunter Biden and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot join us live, you can join us on podcast. Big Ed, bless his little heart, puts all of our programs on the website, on podcast. All you got to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and punch the podcast button. Well, I guess 60 Minutes. God, that show has been on since at least the 70s, maybe even before that. Well, they've got two things they've done recently. One is they had our buddy Hunter Biden on. Of all things, the guy wants to tout a book. Hasn't he done enough? Do we now have to buy his book? So he goes on 60 Minutes. He's also been on some program on CNN recently. He's all over the place. I want him to come to Fox News or to Newsmax and sit down for an interview on his book. Anyway, he says that he's 100% certain he's going to be cleared of any wrongdoing in the Department of Justice investigation. Oh, he was on CBS Sunday Morning. And tomorrow, with the release of his wonderful book, Beautiful Things. Now, I've got the Ceresi brothers. Are you going to, Andrew and Angelo, Andrew first, how quickly are you going to run down to your local bookstore to look for that bestseller?
I'm going to go get in line today, Paul.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. Angelo, I hope you're doing the same up in Rochester, New York.
Well, yeah, beautiful day, 46 degrees. We'll be out there.
Excellent, excellent. And maybe if you're lucky, Hunter will show up, and you'll get a signed copy. Okay, so anyway, we got both of you here. I mean, this guy's got a lot of chutzpah, does he not?
Unbelievable.
He says he's going to be cleared of any wrong. By the way, they asked him, I think it was on 60 Minutes the last time he was there, that about the computer. Oh, I don't know. It could have been. What? What do you mean it could have been? Don't you know if your computer is gone? Did you drop it off? Oh, I might have. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it was stolen. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
I mean, this is becoming, it's, It's embarrassingly stupid. And they didn't pursue it. I mean, you could have reduced that guy to a pile of manure in just a moment if you asked a few questions about that computer. Andrew, I mean, maybe we shouldn't even be talking about it, but don't you think they ought to just quickly dispense with this Hunter Biden thing? I mean, we know he's funneling money from China through...
Well, listen. Hunter Biden is cleared. You don't have to worry about nothing. It's over with him. You notice everything is over with Andrew Cuomo. You get a little peep here, a little peep there.
Yeah, that's true. Andrew Cuomo.
They're all safe, okay? But now they're going after Matt Gaetz, and you saw how they tried to go after Ron DeSantis.
Yes.
2 minutes, and Ron just looked there and told you, you don't even know what you're talking about, basically.
Exactly. He sparred on 60, not on 60 Minutes, but they had a segment about, he is our Florida governor. He sharply shot down a report by 60 Minutes alleging he funneled money for coronavirus vaccines to rich communities and then privatized the vaccine rollout to benefit donors like Publix Grocery Store, who had sent him some money. But he said, you're nuts. It has nothing to do with it. You know, if 60 Minutes pursued the truth on Biden and his son, like they've gone after Ron DeSantis, I think both of them would be worried about some sort of a jail term. Angelo, don't you think that this is... I don't know if you saw the 60 Minutes interview or even the 60 Minutes discussion of DeSantis, but don't you think this is so terribly one-sided?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they were, you notice that Hunter Biden is, nothing's going to happen to him. Nothing's going to happen to Mario Cuomo up here in New York. It's all Democrat. You knew it was going to be this way. I mean, it's ironic that what they did with Trump, right? If Trump was still in, they'd be crucifying.
Oh, of course they would. Of course they would.
You know, nothing's going to happen to Hunter Biden. Nothing's going to happen to Mario Cuomo.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Cuomo.
The people that went after Donald Trump, the sedition, Rosenberg, and all these people that might have wiretap on the president, try to get rid of him. Nothing's going to happen to them either. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going back to Cuomo for just a moment, Angelo, since you're up there, what is the, like, Rochester newspapers or local Rochester?
They're all for Cuomo. Yeah.
They're all for Cuomo, okay.
They don't print nothing, but there's a billboard sign on our interstate says impeach Cuomo. Somebody paid for it.
How much did you have to pay for it, Angelo?
And I both paid for that one.
So nothing's going to happen to Cuomo. Nothing's going to happen to Hunter Biden.
Nope.
We were also reading about these loopholes that Joe Biden, speaking about taking advantage of tax loopholes, you know, he's going after wealthy corporations and people that make a lot of money. He wants to raise the taxes on them. But Andrew, he's using every dodge he can use. He even formed a couple of subchapter S corporations to funnel his money away from the hands of Medicaid and Obamacare.
$13 million, to be exact, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, let me tell you how one-sided things are, okay? Right now you got the trial going on with Derek Chauvin there, the cop that...
In Minneapolis.
Right. You know how you got the... George Floyd's name is just covered all over this earth. Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, that's true.
But do you know who Cannon Hanatus is?
No.
Cannon Hanatus is a five-year-old boy that was riding his tricycle in front of his neighbor's house one day, who was a 25-year-old black person, went right up to that five-year-old boy and shot him in the head.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And this happened just about 10 months ago or so. How come we haven't heard a word about that? Can you imagine if that was a white?
It was turned around.
Five-year-old,
yes.
Got a 5-year-old black boy.
You're right.
In the head.
You're absolutely right.
How come we haven't heard a word about this?
Because it's not the soup of the day. That's why.
Yeah, but what are we going to have to do about this?
The soup of the day is white people attacking either black or Asian people. Don't you understand how this works, you guys?
You know, Paul.
It is. You're absolutely right. The two teenagers that set fire to that white guy there in his apartment,
right.
Nothing's going to happen to them. You don't even hear about it anymore.
Well, something's going to happen to them if they got caught. But you're not going to hear about it. You're right about the publicity. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of being called a racist and a white supremacist and all these other. You know what? I was born white. I'm not going to change my color. I go to work every day. And everybody else that's American in this country, what color they are, go to work every day and quit worrying about your racist crap and your white supremacy crap. It's a bunch of baloney to divide this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was all over with before Mr. Obama got in there.
No,
him and his husband, okay, did more damage to this country, dividing it and causing racism that was almost gone.
It has been raised again. It's a divisive tool. I see it on the media now all the time. In fact, I was watching, just as an example, and I hate to bring this up but I was watching the Women's National Basketball Championship last night. And prior to that on ESPN, they were talking a lot about diversity, which of course is a good thing. But the way they presented it, it sounded like all of these black girls they were lucky to have made it into a school. And somehow they don't, you know, in the background, it's just this idea of white suppression or something. I just don't like that because 99%. Oh, and an interesting topic, as long as I'm talking about this, Charles Barkley, who Ed knows, Charles Barkley, the NBA basketball all-star, who now is a sports personality, he himself, who is kind of a libertarian, talks about the politics of division. And he's very upset. He said 95% of white and black people get along. They get along. But you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think that from the media, right?
Absolutely.
No.
I mean, this
Talk
is...
about Major League Baseball and Delta Airlines. And all, they want to boycott Georgia.
Right? Yes. The Major League All-Star Game.
ID and everything?
The All-Star Game in Atlanta because you got to have a voter ID to vote? What?
You have an ID to get in the baseball game.
Of course.
Okay, these people are out of their minds, Paul. And now, you know what? People know how I think in my shop. And it's like they say, oh, you got a chance of losing 50% of your business. You know what? I didn't care. And I still don't care. The people that come in my shop know what I think. They know how I act. And you know what? I got a following that makes me enough money to make a living with the people that think like I do. And you know, my whole shop must be white supremacists because they all think like me. But I can tell you this, none of us are, Paul.
I know there. I know that. Not only that, you don't lose anybody from what I'm seeing. Unless it's a Democrat who just doesn't agree with your principles.
I tell them to leave. I don't want to hear theirs. I don't even want to be associated with them. They're not American. I don't know what the hell they are.
Hey, but if a Democrat came in and was polite and didn't talk politics with you, you'd cut their hair.
I cut anybody's hair, Paul.
I know.
I cut black people's hair, white people's, red. I cut anybody's hair.
Right. Right. Angelo, you got your shots, right?
Yes, I have them both. And I have my ID card.
Oh, you did. Are you waiting now? For getting an ID passport, a virus passport? Have you heard about that?
What's wrong with that one?
Have you heard about it?
Yeah, that's what they want.
That's a little bit of Big Brother, isn't it?
A little bit, but don't have an ID to vote for president.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So are you going to try to talk your brother into getting the virus shot?
Yeah, hey, I've tried talking to him, but I guess he's not going to get one.
Andrew?
No, sir. No shot for me. I'm not going to be nobody's guinea pig.
Okay.
Maybe, there are too many people, man. If you start reading about it, and I could, if I got my wife out here to tell you a story, you wouldn't believe it.
Really?
I got a niece that's going to the Moffitt Cancer Center. Has a little brain tumor.
Oh.
She is a nurse practitioner herself.
Oh.
And when she went to Moffitt last week, they found a lump on her thyroid. And the nurse was telling her, so you got the shot, did you? And she said, no, I didn't get the shot. She goes, well, you know, between us, there's a lot of people now that are having thyroid problems coming in here with this shot.
Really?
Yes, sir, but they cannot allow to talk about it.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's kind of scary.
I have what?
I've been worried myself about the long-term effects of any of it.
Sorry, but that just falls into hearsay to me.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon? That is.
To me, that just falls into hearsay.
Yeah.
Well, it's hearsay.
It is hearsay, actually.
Person, but yeah, it is hearsay from one nurse to another that works at Moffitt that's been dealing with it and was told you can't talk about it.
Well, I look at it this way. If we wouldn't be this far ahead if it wasn't for President Trump bringing the numbers down by getting that, by pushing that vaccine to
get rid of
this COVID-19.
There's no question about it. Although you wouldn't know it to listen to the Biden administration, of course.
No. It's the media and the administration does not give President Trump any credit for anything. In fact, they're trying to destroy his name, everything he has done for this country.
Finally, Angelo, are things opening up in Rochester? Do you feel a sense that you're on the downside of this? Are the stores a little bit more busy?
No, they're opening up a bit more now and loosening up a little bit. Not like it was a year ago, yeah. It's a little bit better.
Are you out and about?
Oh, yes. I go out now because you still have to wear a mask in places, you know. Like, say, if you're going to a restaurant, you have to wear a mask going inside. Once you're seated and having dinner and everything like that, you can take your mask.
God forbid if you kept it on. That would be something to see.
I know. But it's starting to loosen up here.
Okay.
Did you see Dr. Fauci? I believe it was Friday. He was on the news again, saying that there's a fourth strain that just came out now.
They've talked about that.
They can't detect it on a test, but you have no symptoms. You don't feel bad at all. Well, why the hell would you go get a test if you don't feel bad? No symptoms. What's wrong with this guy?
Hey, I'm feeling too good. I must be sick.
He's another idiot with a book to sell.
This whole thing is a bunch of baloney.
I think you make a lot of sense, both of you. That's all I know. And I want to thank both of you for being on with us again, per usual. And I'll look forward to talking with you again down the road, Angelo. And, of course, Andrew, I'll be talking with you again tomorrow.
You got it, Paul. Let's see what happens between now and then. It ought to be good.
Indeed, it might. Thank you, guys.
Be
welcome. Have a good one.
All right, Angelo. Andrew, bye. Okay, the brothers are racing. Going to take our break. When we come back, another chapter of campus quackery, this time focusing on the renaming of a school mascot in Portland, Oregon.
I shared that news and how painful it was.
Yeah, but the one thing I took out of that piece was, man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people, but we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and time for another edition of Campus Quackery. And this is, Ed, this is one of the strangest chapters or editions we've ever had. A Portland high school is postponing changing the name of its mascot to an evergreen tree. They're going to call them the Evergreens. After a committee member raised concern about possible connotations to lynching. Lynching. A committee comprising students, staff, and community members suggested the school adopt the Evergreens as a new mascot. In explaining the reason for choosing the new mascot, a teacher and a mascot committee member said the Evergreens are characterized by the life-giving force of their foliage, also the strength of their massive trunk and the depth of their roots in an individual tree and as a forest of trees. So they thought, you know, the Evergreens. It kind of has a nice ring to it, you know, the Evergreens. I've never heard that one as a mascot. But now, the Portland Public School Board of Education was set to vote on that name, but the director, Michelle DePaz, raised concerns about the tree's possible connotations, and I'm not laughing about it, but with lynching in the early 20th century. And she said, I'm wondering if there was any concern with the imagery there in using a tree as our mascot. I think everyone comes with blind spots, and I think that that might have been a really big blind spot. Okay, so now we can't use trees. Shall we go back to the Indians as mascots, Ed?
No, I think what it's going to come down with, the mascot's going to just be a plain white piece of paper. That's it.
Well, wait, you said a white piece
of
paper.
Well, yeah, that's, wait a minute.
No. I heard you say a white piece of paper.
Well, let's make it racist. Well, let's make it green or something.
I always like to write with black paper.
Yeah, makes it a challenge to read it.
It does. I use blue ink and black paper. This is so crazy.
And then when they did that, didn't they do that like in front of the courthouse or something like that?
You talk about the Evergreens?
The lynching or whatever.
Oh,
I mean, that's the case, let's just make sure every courthouse does not have a tree in front of it.
I know.
You know,
this is so crazy. This is so crazy. I mean, this is just becoming a huge joke. By the way, we have two more minutes, Ed, speaking of sports and mascots. I know you're excited. We have the national championship college basketball game. I bet you don't even know the two teams that are playing. You don't care.
I do, because I keep hearing it, and I'm tired of hearing it. I heard it on sports radio when I was driving around. There's nothing else on. I know that Baylor's playing Gonzaga tonight, yes. And Gonzaga hasn't lost all year.
That's right.
And
so you're going to watch that because of that, right?
No.
You're not.
I actually have to work, so.
Okay, well, that's a good excuse. But
it starts at 9:30 tonight, right?
You're probably right. Yeah. Close to 9:30. They want to get as many people as they can for this one. You know, the 9 o'clock crowd.
The West Coast too.
That's exactly right.
On the West Coast.
That is exactly right. So, along with that, we got other things going on. How are the how many games have the Tampa Bay Rays, our favorite baseball team? How many have they played so far this
year?
And what is their record?
2-1.
That's good.
Yeah. I know it's early, but I'm already starting to see some problems. I think you're going to hear more of.
Oh, is that right?
It's either to you know what or get off the pot with Kevin Kiermaier.
Okay, now tell us, who's Kevin Kiermaier?
Kevin Kiermaier is our center fielder that
is he not
great for defense, but he's horrible at hitting. And each year it's like, well, he's great on defense, though, but he's not that great anymore. He's getting older. And he just stinks.
He can't hit.
In three games, he's got one hit. Already.
That's
one.
Good.
That's it.
He better be flagging down a lot of balls in center field.
His last 3 years, his numbers have gone down steadily.
How old is he?
30.
He's relatively
He should be in his prime, but every year it's like we're waiting for him to hit.
Okay.
Waiting for him to hit.
Wow. Interesting. All right, Ed. It is time for our top 10. We have a good one. This is the top 10 best places in the world to retire to. Now, this just came out. This is the annual Global Retirement Index from MarketWatch, okay? And they're actually countries. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10. Here's a shocker. Vietnam.
Really?
For us that remember the war of Vietnam. Vietnam's meteoric rise, nothing short of phenomenal. Hard to imagine a war-torn nation developing into the world's fastest-growing economy. Fastest-growing economy. Number nine, Malta, the island of Malta. Sitting right in the heart of the Mediterranean, Malta blends the best of Southern European graciousness with one of the best qualities of life to be found in Europe. Number eight, France. Dynamic, diverse country, offers retirement options for every taste and budget. If you love European living, look no further than this gourmet and cultural gem. Number seven, Malaysia. Cities with a buzz, idyllic beaches, islands that seduce the senses, some of the most pristine ancient rainforests in Southeast Asia. Number six, Ecuador. Ecuador. Whether you want to live, vacation, retire, or simply relax in Ecuador, you'll find the perfect combo of climate, culture, and affordability to make your dreams come true. You know, these are all sounds. These sounds like travel agency ads. Now that I'm thinking about it. Okay, number five, Portugal. You ever been to Portugal?
No.
I'd like to go there. Portugal. This tiny country in the southwest corner of Europe has something for everybody. Vibrant cities full of old world charm, miles of golden sandy beaches, green rolling hills, and some of the best health care in the world. Number four, Colombia. Now, I'm not so sure about this one. Colombia? I always think about the drug cartels in Colombia. Located at the northern tip of South America, the gateway country of Colombia is where the Pacific and the Caribbean collide. More beautiful, dramatic, and diverse than nearly any other. Colonial towns, thriving cosmopolitan cities, and all the drugs you could want. I just added that part. Okay. Number three.
Here's that ain't sugar in the container.
Yeah. Another one, Mexico. Why is everybody leaving Mexico?
Well, there could be different parts of Mexico.
That's exactly it, actually.
You know, Puerto Vallarta, Cancun.
Cancun. I've been to Cancun. Yeah. Beautiful. People are very nice in Cancun, by the way. Yeah, well, that's true. Okay, number two, Panama.
Panama.
Panama. It offers ocean views, warm weather, big city amenities. And by the way, it's a hurricane-free environment. They've never had a hurricane there.
Wow.
How many places in the region offer so much while also making it easy and affordable to live there? Okay. And it is time. I've named a lot of different places. I'm going to give you a hint. It's in Central America, and we haven't named it yet, but it's in Central America. And another hint is a lot of people have been leaving there to come up here. So, again, I don't know why. You want to take a guess?
I can't think of it now, but I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it.
Okay. Roll the drum.
Can't think of it.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Can you believe that?
Well, that's an island, though.
On the narrow volcanic isthmus. It's a country.
I know, but I thought you said it was in South America, in the middle of South America.
I said Central America. Central America. Okay. I said Central. I really did. Anyway, it's on an isthmus between the continents of North and South America, a country so rich in natural beauty, the adjective is actually in its name, Rich Coast. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Don't forget, freedom works.
Let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Google has just scored a major victory in the Supreme Court. Correspondent